Hello, everybody. Welcome to Turning Towards Life. We are Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we're here for our 464th conversation. Welcome to you all. Welcome, Lizzie. Well, we have, Lizzie, you've brought a really excellent source this week that I think talks right into the heart of what this whole endeavor is, but also talks into the heart of the kind of coaching work that we do in the world. So I'm very excited to get into that conversation. And all of you who are with us, if you want to find out more about Turning Towards Life, because maybe you've just been recommended this or just discovered us, our website is turningtowards.life, and you can see all of and listen to all of the previous conversations there. Find out about our various offerings, contact us, which we'd love to hear from people, support us. And also there's a section on there where you can find out about the coaching programs that we run through Third Space. And this is a Third Space offering, Turning Towards Life. Lizzie, you and I have recorded videos and conversations about what that is. And I think in some way we'll probably get into something of that conversation in some way here today. And the other thing to say is we are recording this on the 30th of August, 2026. And on the 16th of September, which is very soon, we are opening the doors for our third six-month season of Turning Towards Life Live, where you get to come and join us and a group of other people. And we do this, what we're about to do today, which is read and study something together and then talk about it in a way, in an unhurried way, that allows depth and discovery and inquiry to unfold. We have just finished our second season and had some really encouraging and inspiring feedback from responses from people who participated. And the sense that we have is that this way of talking and listening to one another really opens doors in our hearts and our minds and makes for a very supportive, truthful, open place to learn and discover and inquire. So you may only be thinking about this now because we're talking about it, but if you're at all interested, turningtowards.life has a link to Turning Towards Life Live on the front page. We'll also put it in the show notes. And we would be absolutely thrilled if you either wanted to join us or wanted to get in contact with us to ask us about it. We're really happy to respond. So that starts on the 16th of August, very soon, once a month, for a few hours. And I think that's everything I want to say by way of beginning this morning, Lizzie, apart from hello to you and welcome.
Thank you, Justin. So we have a source today and it's called Total Breakdown, and it's from a book called Wild Grace by, I think I'm going to get this right now, Justin, hopefully, by Kaelin Harkin. And Kaelin Harkin is a very new to me poet. And as soon as I read this, I thought, this is us. This is wonderful. So Kaelin, if you're listening by any miracle of the imagination, thank you for all of the everythingness that you've put into the world so far. And this is my entry point into your work in the world. And I'm so excited to explore more. I have your books, Kaelin, in my baskets in several places. And I'm away at the moment, so I'm not getting them shipped to me, but I'm wondering about which ones to get a hold of and read and dive into more. So thank you. And I'd recommend anybody to go and have a look at them. Really beautiful titles. So this is a poem from June 2026 called Total Breakdown. She's having a total breakdown. One put together and very self-satisfied seed with no cracks in it whispered to another, about a third seed who had begun to germinate. She's completely falling apart. Her life is a mess. They gazed superiorly at the smooth, intact facade of their shells, so perfectly upholding expectations of the status quo. Clearly, compared to that wild, sprouting seed disrupting the peace, they were doing something right. Right? But now and then, they secretly looked up with longing at the tall-stemmed, bravely opened flower, wondering if there might be more to themselves.
See. So I'm going to read again with thanks to Kaelin, and we will post the poem in the show notes, but also a link if you want to find out more about Kaylin, we'll post a link there. If you want to find out about her books or her work or her. This is Total Breakdown from June 2026. She's having a total breakdown, one put together and very self-satisfied seed with no cracks in it whispered to another about a third seed who had begun to germinate. She's completely falling apart. Her life is a mess. They gazed superiorly at the smooth, intact facade of their shells, so perfectly upholding expectations of the status quo. Clearly, compared to that wild sprouting seed disrupting the peace, they were doing something right. Right? But now and again, they secretly looked up with longing at the tall-stemmed, bravely opened flower, wondering if there might be more to themselves.
Thank you, Justin. So I think the heart of why I wanted to bring this to be between us, Justin, is that somehow I think in most cultures there is a kind of, maybe it's an underlying fear, manifests as a judgment or something when any of us are in any state of undoneness, like as if there's something wrong if we're not buttoned up and just doing fine. And of course, you and I know that in the state of undoneness, all manner of things begin to become possible. And in a state of openness and even brokenness, out of those places, different things get born, really important things get born. Sometimes life itself needs us to break for something to get born that belongs to us. And so this poem spoke to me about the way that we can open to those places of courage and vulnerability and bravery where we say, I'm not doing well. I am falling apart and my life is a mess. But we can do that with this kind of reassurance that there's people who know what that is and who can be with us in it and we aren't alone. And I love this line at the end saying, oh, I'm kind of looking at that person as if there's something wrong, but maybe there's more to me because that's happening to them. And I think we can also forget how much of an example or a signpost we can be to others, that breaking apart and letting things fall down in us so that we can be open to something new, it's okay and normal and safe and the thing that happens to all human beings. And that we could play our part, Justin, in inviting our cultures all everywhere to see these things as welcome and okay and normal, rather than something that needs to be dealt with or fixed and then you come back normal again, but you do that all behind closed doors or something. And that's why I wanted to bring it here, because it's like a feeling of desperately wanting to normalize all of our brokenness and all of our undoneness and all of our flailing around being a mess, wanting that just to be ordinary, which it is. This is the thing. We put up so many walls and masks and pretenses to show the world that everything's okay, when actually behind closed doors, and you and I, Justin, both know, the more and more we speak to people and learn with people and be with people in the realness of their lives, we are all the falling apart mess in so many ways, behind closed doors often. And so to create the kind of intimacy and the kind of safety where we can all truly be honest about what's happening in our lives feels so central to my life and I know your life and the kind of work that we want to be able to do together forever and never retire from, because it's a human thing.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with you, Lizzie, and with Kaylan, that the inevitable breaking apart of that which we've held on very strongly to, it's a given in life that will happen, and that very, very often we can assume that kind of breaking apart, which is very often involves the ending of things or the undoing of things, is something to be avoided, and therefore the seed metaphor, of course, is a wonderful and powerful metaphor for this, because you can see that seeds becoming flowers or trees, it requires breaking apart, and there really is something like that in us humans. And it's also no accident, I think, if you think about something like the biblical creation story, begins with the chaos and the unformed and the void, and something gets made from there. It's the fertile territory. So I'm with you, and I think the way that I'm thinking about it is, I want to, more recently I've become very alive, and I've talked about this a few times in recent times, about how we handle polarities, as if when we take something to be good and something to be bad, and we go that side bad, that side good, and so there's a version of the polarity where we go keeping it all together, looking like we're keeping it all together even when we're not, good falling apart, bad. But there is also a flip side of that, which is keeping it together, bad falling apart, good. And I want to just start by honoring the seeds, and honoring the value of the hard shell of the seed that preserves something, that keeps something intact. If a seed is broken apart at the wrong time, then it doesn't germinate. And so the hardness and the containment of the seed really has its has its purpose. It belongs, and it's very, very important. And I know, I don't know why I kept coming across this example, but I suppose I know that when I'm in the hands of a surgeon, or the hands of an airline pilot, or in the hands of anything where the person being together matters, I want a together person. I really do. What I definitely don't want is a person who's cracking apart, pretending to be together. So this is going to get into this part of it as well. But so I'm resistant to having a value judgment that one is better than the other. Where I want to stand with this is that both are necessary, and in fact that both are inevitable. And part of our problem is that we tend to label one as superior to the other, as Kaylan points out in this poem. So my question then becomes, where are the places that when we are breaking apart, we can be welcomed and encouraged and held, and we can be met with inquiry and curiosity and patience by those who know that breaking apart is not only unavoidable, but as in this poem, very often filled with a kind of fertile potential for something very beautiful and very new. And the difficulty that many of us have in our lives is we have no places for that. Because we have no places for it, and we're not in conversations which even begin to allow that I might be falling apart in all kinds of ways. So in a way, I read this poem as a call to how can we be those for one, and how can we learn to be those for one another, that when somebody else is actually germinating in this way and might be desperately trying to keep a lid on it because it involves all kinds of undoing, how might we learn to be the kinds of people who can meet with intelligence and care and depth and attentiveness and inquiry and curiosity and be of use to others and then to ourselves when we meet these moments in our lives? And that's in a way where we are so deficient in our wider culture, or maybe many of us never got taught it, or we're frightened of doing it. And of course it matters so much for the reasons that you've started to point to, which is there are ways in which our lives are always falling apart, because everything is always falling apart. So partly recognizing that is the first step. And then there are times where we might have really invested ourselves in various kind of commitments and values and practices and projects and a kind of identity, which starts to undo as something new begins to be born. And inevitably, when that happens, there are going to be some people around us for whom the consequences of that are not welcome, right? You know, if I've loved you in a particular way for being a particular kind of person, and something begins to grow in you and that shifts our relationship, there will be places in which that's unwelcome. Can we learn to find the places where our undoing is welcome and the people who can meet us there? That's the kind of question that I've got. And the last part of it, I think that's important to say, is that matters because our undoing is not welcome in every place. Like I said, I do not want to be on a plane whilst the pilot unravels. I really don't. But I do want to be with you, Lizzie, whilst the huge questions of your life turn up. And I want to be a kind of person who can welcome you in the inevitable changing and growing and discovering and letting go and all of that. So there's a sort of context thing about it. And it would be a mistake to imagine that every place, because Kellen rightly says this matters, to think that every place is the place to fall apart. Like, there's a sort of intelligence in us that can go, not here, not now. But then the question is where and when and who might meet us so that we can give place to this something that's becoming a flower. But I think it's a hugely important question that is mostly ignored in the sort of wider culture, which would have us keep ourselves together all the time. And that's where those are the questions that this leads me into.
I love it that you're pointing to the metaphor in this of the seed and of growth and life. And how, with all of that, of course, there's so many elements that really matter, like warmth and light and timing and seasons and positioning. And like, there's so much context that has the seeds germinate or not. And that combined with the life force itself that can produce germination. It's like it's all linked. Nothing is separate in this metaphor from anything else. So when the context of our lives becomes one where we can't help but crack open, like something happens. And probably for a seed, that means it's springtime and the sun is shining and there's nothing else to do but to crack, because that's what is happening right now. And so in that sense, there's so much about this is to do with timing and to do with context and surrounding and environment. And I think that's that the bit that this, I don't think, addresses in some way is the feeling safe enough to reveal oneself into another. So this metaphor also has its limitations because it isn't human. And of course, in humanness, there's psychological, emotional, relational safety that really matters as part of the conditions. That's kind of like maybe the equivalent of the weather, or equivalent of how supportive the environment is of something coming, something growing. And so this question of part of our context as human beings, as you're saying, Justin, being welcoming, being a welcome for those things. And instead of being one who encourages another to shut it down or put it back in the box or something, we could be people who learn to welcome these times of cracking open. We could be people who take our place in making little tiny cultural societal shifts, little piece of us by little piece of us, that's a little more open when someone comes to us with grief, or if somebody comes to us with a complete financial mess, or when someone or of course, whether we are the people with grief or a complete financial mess too, like we would include ourselves in this. And I think that's the point too, Justin, the safer that we can be depends on how safe we are for ourselves. So when I can be with my mess, when I can be with my own grief, when I can work through and feel supported in my own undoing, in my own messiness, that's the way that I become a safe place for another. Because it's roads that have been at least one step further traveled where I can say, yeah, this is the road and I'm on it too. And then that creates the kind of safety that we can talk some more about it, that we can say a little bit more about our inner experience rather than say, oh, I've got to stop now. I'm not going to bring that here. And so many times in my life, I've been in conversations where I've thought, no, I'm not going to. Like you say, there are places that might have good reason, like a pilot thing, but there are also places that have no good reason to be closed. And they are. And maybe they do have a good reason, but it's made of something that we can look at together. So when you talk to me and then I realize a place in me is kind of shutting down, I can feel into that and wonder what's happening there. And I can breathe and I can bring it into the relationship. But there are plenty of places in the world that turn away because they just, and I know this in me too, where I can't do that right now, which is wholly understandable. And it really matters to me that we dedicate ourselves to being people that keep opening and keep opening, keep wondering and keep wondering, so that we can stand for that kind of relational safety in the world where someone comes with something unbearable and we keep breathing and keep softening and keep opening and saying, tell me more, rather than let our own guilt or our own fear or our own anything stop that person from having the opportunity to express themselves and to be real in the world with whatever they're experiencing, whatever identity crisis or question or whatever complex organizational trauma they might bring or whatever is in their world that we can breathe and say yes to and welcome whatever that human experience is. And I think that's really the heart of what Kaylin's bringing us here, is that there might be more than what we can currently see of ourselves. And part of us knows when that's true. Part of us knows that when we see some kind of messy something, there's also life in it. There's also something in there for us too.
I think what you're asking of us, Lizzie, is a moral question, really. It comes at the side of the responsibility of the one who meets the seed that's cracking. You know, one way to read Kellen's poem is, which I think is probably not the most helpful way to read it, is everyone should crack apart all the time and become a flower. And I definitely want to stand on the side of the flowering of the flower, yes. And like you're saying, there's kind of context, right? Is there enough moisture? Is there enough food? Is there enough sunlight for this flower to flower? Can we attend to that? And then the moral question is, how do we each become a person who can welcome, who can meet this opening in another person and don't try to close it down because it makes us feel better? And I think that that's one of the great opportunities of being a person is, if I care about you, is to ask myself, can I meet you in such a way that when you find yourself in this hard to understand situation where things are breaking apart and it might feel like she's completely falling apart, her life is a mess, can I be a person who stays faithful to the something that you are that is deeper than the particular conditions that you're in? In other words, can I be someone who's not attached to a particular kind of identity that you've had? Can I be someone who's not attached to a particular way that you might be convenient for me? Can I be someone who, what does it take to be dedicated to the life that another person is and then attend to their becoming? And I suppose, like we're saying, not every relationship can bear that, because there are all kinds of contexts for it, and not every moment can bear it. But we pay a terrible cost if our lives are such that we have to struggle to remain a seed or pretend to be a seed when we're becoming a flower. So I think it takes a kind of, you've spoken about this a lot, it takes a certain kind of faithfulness, which is what's in Kellen's poem here, which is these moments, there's a faithfulness that's possible, that something new is being born. And it also takes, this is something we talk about a lot on our professional coaching course, this has just occurred to me, it takes us recognizing the impermanence of everything. It's a lovely book. Maybe we'll find a quote from it at some point, like a piece from it by Alan de Botton called The Course of Love, which I really like, which is about intimate and romantic relationships. And one of the things that Alan says at some point in the book, he sort of charts the course of a single relationship from first meeting, and then this pair get married, and they have children, and they live into old age. And he looks at the twists and turns of this, and one of the things he says that really impacted me is, and I think this applies to marriages and long-term relationships of all kinds and friendships and anything where we're willing to be in it with someone for over time, is that what you're in relationship with is a life, not the particular presentation of that life that shows up at the moment you first meet someone. So when we first meet someone, we're drawn to them for all kinds of reasons that are true of them at that time. But the next second, they are already changing. What Kellen is talking about here is already underway, because there is a way in which we're always germinating. It's the other way to look at this, is that we never stay for long in the seed state. We are always changing. And if my way of being with you, Lizzie, is that I've seen sort of the surface of the seed, and I've gone, well, I like that, this particular way of being in the world. And as long as you stay like that, Lizzie, shiny and seed-like, I will care for you and love you and be committed to being in relationship with you. As long as I'm committed to that surface presentation, the moment something starts to break, I'm going to be very committed to trying to make sure that that gets put back in. And if you care about me, you might then want to present, you might want to go, I'll hide away all of this messy eruption that's happening, because I know that I can only stay in a relationship with you if I look seed-like. And then what we're doing is not loving and taking care of the life in one another. What we're doing is we're trying to have one another stay more like an object that we happen to like than this vast, mysterious, deep, ever-changing something that being a human is. So, like I said, I do not want my pilot to be stopping being a pilot in mid-flight. I don't. But in almost every other area of human endeavor, if I'm married to someone, if I'm in a relationship with someone, if I'm friends with someone, if I'm a parent to someone, if I'm a sibling to someone, and can have a longer list than that, my demand that you stay like a seed because it happens to be convenient for me is a terrible constraint on your becoming who knows what and who you're going to become through this vast and excellent and mysterious life that you're in. And the trouble is as long as you try to keep me happy by keeping the way you think I want you to be, you're playing your part in it. And that's what I think a poem like this can start to raise the question, is if I'm not relationship with the form that you're in now, but I'm in relationship with a process, a flow, and something sacred that I am too, how do we, then our job becomes helping one another in the realness of this mess and the realness of this unfolding, and not trying to sort of put a lid on it. There, it really matters. It really matters. For the continuity of, but also for the care of, and for the delight in, and for the sacredness of being alive and being in relationship, which is what we humans are made to do.
Yeah. And you talking about relationship this way, Justin, is making me think of, you know, all those times in my own life, and also the stories I hear from others all the time of, you know, when you meet someone and you suddenly like yourself a little bit more. because some way that you are with one another brings the pieces more to life that you love about yourself, and how we can be that for one another. You suddenly look in the mirror and think, oh, I've got less flaws than I thought I did, that I had judged myself to have, or whatever. Or I feel like I feel bolder, or I feel the part of me that's courageous. But that we can meet, like, these are the kinds of gifts that we can give one another. Is that if we become people who really see the qualities in one another that matter, the kind of essence of one another, if you like, they shine brighter because they get seen by another person. And we know that, we can feel it. We can feel like when you see me, I go, oh, I could be a little bit more me in this way. I could be a little braver, or I could be a little more bold, or feel a little more confident in myself because of the way that you see me. And of course, we can do all that work for ourselves on some level too. But it's really powerful when another person could be that for us. And I love that that is one of the cool things about humanness, is that we can impact one another like this. So when I have someone next to me, like you're saying, Justin, who sees me as different than they did yesterday, or at least allows me the possibility of being different than I was yesterday, maybe I'll try something new. You know, if you're not demanding that I'm the same thing, maybe I'll broaden my horizons and my possibilities will shift a little because you're not holding me so tightly in the thing that we met as, or something. So I'm really feeling grateful and inspired by this sense that we can change together, you know, that we can become, and that we can recognize and see one another in the process of our becoming, and allow one another to be whoever we're becoming in this moment together. And that's one of the powerful things about relationship, is that that's really possible. So I want to thank Kaylam for this really beautiful poem, and to say I'm going to delve more and find more things in her work. I want to thank you, Justin, for being one of those ones who always endeavors to see people in their becoming and allows people to let go of any old identities and step into new ones. And I want to thank us for the ongoingness of Turning Towards Life, and to thank everyone for being with us in this conversation and wondering and being and having your own responses to what we say, and then telling us hello@turningtowards.life. We would love to hear from you, and we would certainly love to have you with us in our next season of Turning Towards Life Live, starting on the 16th of September 2026, where you can also find out more about that on our website, www.turningtowards.life. We'd love you to come and join us. If you have any questions, please reach out, and we will see you next week for another episode.